So this famous text from Mark, and it's replicated in the other synoptic gospels, Matthew and Luke, about divorce is problematic, let me say. Problematic, at least from this point of view, that every Christian body on the planet, except the Roman Church, allows divorce. Even the Orthodox churches, who are so close to us in so many ways, they even have a ceremony to celebrate the death of a marriage. It's not, divorce is never a happy thing, but the question arises, I think legitimately, can marriages die? You know, we'd like to think, I mean, you look at the New Testament, you said, you know, go sell everything you have, give the money to the poor, love your enemies. If somebody beat you on one side of the face, turn the cheek. I mean, we got all of these wonderful counsels of perfection, which certainly allow for, you know, lapses, shall we say. And I confess, I'm really puzzled as to why we do not allow for the human possibility of failure in a human relationship. I mean, everybody knows the divorce right now is 50% or above. And I keep puzzling over the fact that are all those other Christian bodies wrongheaded or evil or unfaithful to the gospel? I think it's a legitimate question. And of course, we steadfastly adhere to this, although we have, you know, it's one of the things cynics refer to as Catholic divorce, namely annulment. The number of annulments increased by 88,000% under the pontificate of the Polish Pope. Folks, you cannot help but wonder, you know. The most famous instance, of course, is Ted Kennedy's first wife, who was an Anglican, and they got an annulment after a number of years of marriage and several kids. And she went public, writing a whole book on the subject, saying that money and connections in the Vatican had figured largely in the process of obtaining an annulment. Again, I think it's a legitimate question. We human beings fail at virtually everything, you know, sooner or later. Why is it not possible that we fail at the most important relationship we choose to make in our lives? I mean, we do it all the time. Friendships disintegrate, deteriorate, even the most profound and intimate. So it is at least questionable, you know, in the consequence of divorce too, that we treat divorced people as pariahs in the church. Again, if you read that wonderful interview with Cardinal Martini, he said, you know, excluding people who are divorced and then remarry from the sacraments is, according to Cardinal Martini, a bad idea. And I agree. It is a bad idea. So, here we are. In a sense, stuck, as we are stuck so many places in the church today. And this occurred to me on listening to this reading and thinking about it again for the umpteenth time. Is it not possible that God really did create Adam and Steve? I mean, this is, of course, the big bone of contention now. But statistics are very interesting. I mean, most Catholics believe that same-sex marriage ought to be permitted, the majority. Well, because we've so demonized homosexual people. I mean, it's easy to make the inference from that. Well, no, this is a totally objectionable thing. I just put it out because this has become, in the political scene of today, again, a highly contentious issue with bishops spending millions of dollars to oppose same-sex legislation in California and every place else where it's arisen. You know? I don't know. And for the life of me, I'm not married. I've never been married. I have no prospects of marrying. But I am just baffled at these claims that, you know, if we allow same-sex marriage, then what will happen from this bestiality? You know, the most ghastly kind of consequences. You know. And I don't know any married people who have ever said to me, boy, oh boy, I'm glad they're not allowing same-sex marriage because my marriage would just fall apart if they did. Well, I wonder. Again, more stuff to think about, to puzzle over. So tomorrow, Thanksgiving. Just a word. Thanksgiving is at the very heart of the Christian vision of human life. You know, there's a wonderful Spanish song that I tried to find and couldn't locate in my house, because I can't locate a bunch of things in my house. Called "Gracias por la vida." Gratitude for life. And that's what Thanksgiving is supposed to be about. It's not supposed to be, you know, just a kind of transient or incidental event in one's life. To the extent that we are really converted to God and to the God of Jesus Christ, we're also converted to the profound conviction that our very existence is a gift and a sign of love. We're also banged up and distorted and malformed by completing appetites and opposed goals in our lives that I think we very readily, at least I do, very readily lose sight of that, what is supposed to be a foundational fact, that my very existence is a gift. And no matter what follows from that, does not eradicate that fundamental fact. So, I hope that you can spend some time, I hope I can spend some time tomorrow on Thanksgiving fretting over this. Fretting over my inadequacy to respond to what I say I believe, namely, that life really is a gift.